Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Super duper glad to see you on the radio. Thanks for joining us. We are going to have a Sunrise show. We'll have some best of segments on Monday morning, Christmas Eve, but we won't need the good hard work of Mr. Rob Center to play those. So we want to wish Mr. Rob Center, our fabulous producer, a very, very Merry Christmas. He's taken fabulous care of us all week. And we will see him next Thursday and Friday, so we appreciate that. But we say thank you very much. Of course, Merry Christmas to Matt Cotrillo. He'll have to struggle along with me on Monday morning, so we'll be here. Don't worry. And right now, time for Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, website aisleseat.com. He's a screenwriter for the increasingly popular Millions of Hits Screen Rant website. He's also on Twitter, at aisleseat. He's got a lot to celebrate this year, too. We'll talk about that later. But welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you.
And his appearance brought to you by the Campus Theater in Lewisburg, campustheater.org, for more information there. Mary Poppins returns.
In Mary Poppins Returns, Ben Whishaw plays the now-grown Michael Banks. His wife has died, and he's in danger of losing the home he shares with his three children. Former nanny Mary Poppins, played by Emily Blunt, flies down from the sky on a kite to help tend to the kids while he looks for a stock certificate that could get his debt erased. The movie starts off pleasantly as the stakes for the family are established, and Mary has a charming musical number with the kids in which she turns their bath into a glorious romp in the ocean, complete with dolphins jumping over their boat. Then a curious thing happens. The second musical number tries to outdo the first, the third tries to outdo the second, and so on. The songs are not particularly memorable, and the more elaborate these scenes get, the less relevance they seem to have to the plot. The non-musical scenes are also needlessly complex and showy, with an abundance of visual effects as Mary repeatedly uses her special powers. Mary Poppins Returns is so intent on shoving its magical quality down your throat that it becomes annoying after a while. Watching a movie whose energy level is on 10 the whole time proves exhausting, which takes away from any charm the story might have had. In fairness, Emily Blunt is great, and the production design is impressive. But the film's insistence on trying to blow your mind for every single second wore me out. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2.5 spoonfuls of sugar.
2.5 spoonfuls of sugar. Okay. Well, now, would a kid love it, though?
Well, let's put it this way. I screened it with my wife and our 10-year-old son. He bailed after an hour. She nodded off twice. And I spent a good deal of the time looking at my watch thinking, how much longer does this have to go?
Oh, worried.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm sure there are some kids who will like it, but I don't know. My own kid did not like it.
Okay, so just a little bit too much activity and not enough fascinating story. All right, but Emily Blunt, I'm glad to hear, did well, which is no surprise.
She's great. She kind of captures what Julie Andrews originally brought to the character without doing a direct imitation of Julie Andrews. So she's very good. Lin-Manuel Miranda is also very good. He plays a lamplighter who becomes close to the family. So the problem isn't the acting. The problem is just that this movie is trying so hard to dazzle you every single second, and it doesn't work. It loses sight of what it's supposed to be about, and it just becomes this endless spectacle for no real reason.
All right, and that speaks to a comparison with the original, with Julie Andrews. That, of course, had a steadier pace, and of course, classic, timeless movie of all time, and songs that are each and most of them are certainly memorable.
Absolutely. And the original was really about Mary Poppins, first of all, teaching the children how to use their imagination, but also helping them to get a little bit closer to their father. This movie is ostensibly about the family trying to save their home, but it just goes off in all of these weird tangents. And then at one point, Meryl Streep shows up for a cameo, and her character lives in this world that's upside down, and that just comes out of nowhere, and then she's ushered right off and never returns again. So the whole movie is like that. It's great to look at, and the actors are good, but the storytelling here, it's just so intent on blowing your mind for 2 hours and 10 minutes that the movie just never takes a breath.
Okay, well, that's not kind of too bad. You know, you can only do one Mary Poppins Returns. Does it beg for an additional and maybe a more artistic and more noteworthy sequel also?
Oh, after this one, I hope there are no more.
Okay.
I mean, the author of the Mary Poppins books notoriously hated what Walt Disney did with the film. Despite the Tom Hanks movie Saving Mr. Banks, which made it seem like she loved it, Travers hated the Mary Poppins movie. I don't know what she would have thought of this one. My guess is she would not have liked this one any more than that one.
All right, so she won't have to stuff her through the 2.5 spoonfuls of sugar, right? All right, well, fantastic. All right, so that...
Because I didn't know what the plural of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious would be.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I don't know if it was docious or docious.
No, docious.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Actually, in today's today's grammar, either is acceptable.
Okay.
All right. Plus, we don't have to say it that often.
Right.
So, and Rob, when he produces our recorded version of your review that we'll play later today, he didn't have to type it in either.
Yes.
So that's good. All right. New movies. What else is out in the theaters these days? Of course, we think of the holiday period as a good time to release good films.
Well, there's a whole lot of stuff coming out, as there always is at Christmas, starting off with Aquaman. Jason Momoa plays Arthur Curry. He learns that he's the heir to the underwater kingdom of Atlantis and must step forward to lead his people and be a hero to the world. Aquaman, of course, a classic DC superhero. We've got Bumblebee, which is a spinoff of the Transformers movie, in which the Transformer known as Bumblebee finds refuge in a junkyard in a small California beach town where he befriends a teen girl. We have Welcome to Marwen. Steve Carell plays a victim of a brutal attack who finds a unique and beautiful therapeutic outlet to help him through his recovery process. This is based on a true story about a guy who got through his trauma by creating his own dolls and creating these elaborate little towns and scenarios for them, and kind of imagining himself as a hero in World War II. So this is the fictionalized version of it. We've got Second Act, which stars Jennifer Lopez as a big box store worker who reinvents her life and her life story to show Madison Avenue what street smarts can do. Those all come out today, and then on Tuesday of next week, we get Holmes and Watson, which is a comedic take on the Sherlock Holmes tale with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. And we've also got Vice, which is Adam McKay's political comedy about Dick Cheney, which we talked about here a few weeks ago. I think it's one of the year's best films. So those both open locally on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, okay.
Yes.
And strangely enough, one of our listeners texts us a note, says, I'm going to the movies Christmas afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I can only see one movie. Mm-hmm. What should it be?
I would recommend either Vice or Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which I didn't review today, but an animated Spider-Man movie that is possibly the best of all the Spider-Man movies. It's at least one of the top two. So it's a really great, innovative, groundbreaking, game-changing animated film. So if you're going to go to the movies and only see one thing, I would recommend either Vice or Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Even if I'm not a huge Spidey fan and not a huge animation fan, if you only see one lately, see this one.
Yes, and pay the extra couple of bucks for 3D, because it's one of the few movies where I can say the 3D is almost essential to it. It really, really adds so much.
All right, suspend your disbelief, put on the glasses, and be quiet for 2 hours. Please,
yeah.
We beg you. All right. So that's new movies. Well, we've had some tough entertainment news. And, of course, you probably have met Jessica Paquin locally up at the Campus Theater.
Yeah, Jessica Paquin was the director of marketing and outreach at the Campus Theater, which sponsors me here on WKOK and the other station, Sunbury Broadcasting. And she passed away after a several-year battle with colon cancer earlier this week. And anybody who knew Jessica, and I was fortunate enough to know her a little bit, knew that she was one of those people who's always happy, always upbeat. And my story about her is that several years ago, she emailed me and she said, you know what, we sponsor you, but I've never actually met you. Why don't you come up to the Campus Theater one day and just hang out? And so I said, okay. And I went up and she took me on a tour of all the parts of the theater that the public doesn't normally get to see. And then we sat in the auditorium and just talked about movies for like an hour, hour and a half. And she was just so enthusiastic about film and so knowledgeable on it and just such an upbeat, fun, happy person. So it's really a sad time for everybody associated with the Campus Theater over her passing.
She was a filmmaker, correct?
She was. She and her partner, Steve Gibson, made a couple of independent films, one of which was a horror movie called The Feed, which took place entirely inside the Campus Theater, which is really cool. I mean, I've seen the film, and it's, especially if you've been to the Campus Theater to see a horror movie being set there, it's a lot of fun. And they had another thriller that they released earlier this year on the festival circuit called, I believe it's called The Lost Within. So, and she acted in that too, and she gave a really good performance. So she was a very talented person.
Fist and Post Productions comes to mind. Does that ring a bell?
I believe that's what they call it.
Yeah, Fist and Post, the name, but beyond that, Matt Cotrillo did a story yesterday that included those words, but I don't quite recall them. But yeah, okay, so she's remembered, and of course a real advocate for the arts. That's what
Absolutely.
She brought to the theater, and so that's just wonderful that she brought that legacy there, and sad that she's gone. And we lost Penny Marshall. We didn't see her in a ton of films, but a real entertainment leader.
Yeah, Penny Marshall. People my age, we grew up with Laverne and Shirley, and it was just such an iconic sitcom. She was so funny on it. And then she transferred over into directing. She was the first woman ever to direct a movie that grossed $100 million at the box office. That was 1988's Big with Tom Hanks. And she went on and directed a lot of other movies, the Oscar-nominated Awakenings, Riding in Cars with Boys, with Drew Barrymore. She was just a really all-around talented actress, filmmaker, and by all accounts, a really nice person, too.
And a director. So you would have known that for sure and known which film she's directed. And it wasn't exactly news to me, but I was surprised to see that she'd done so many films and done so well.
And she had. And A League of Their Own was another one of her really, really big hits. So she was very much a pioneering female filmmaker in a time in the 80s and early 90s when women weren't getting a lot of directing jobs. They still aren't getting as many as they should. But back then, they were getting even fewer. And she was somebody who came in and made movies and was successful. She directed successful pictures.
All right, and her brother had some kind words about her this week. Of course, he, too, in films, saying that this is it might take a while till we recognize the vacuum that she'll leave.
She was just a really, really, talented, versatile performer, and very sad to see her go. She was only, I think, 75.
Right, okay. All right, so, tough news. Coming in 2019, anything big to look for on the horizon? Now, we will have your 10 best and worst coming up, and that'll be, I think, the 4th of January.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today,
okay.
Okay,
and you get the day off next Friday, so enjoy. But anything to look forward to in 2019?
Yeah, it's going to be a big year because we've got Avengers Endgame, which is going to answer all the questions we all have after Avengers Infinity War. Frozen 2 comes out next year, and, of course, Star Wars Episode 9. So it's going to be a very, very big year at the box office.
All right, well, listen, fantastic. I know you got a lot to celebrate this year. You got another child in the family.
I do. We're going to be celebrating our son Jordan's first Christmas. He just turned 4 months old yesterday, so it's going to be an extra special holiday for us.
Did you get to sleep all night Christmas Eve? Is that happening in your house lately?
He's sleeping more through the night now. It's getting a little bit better.
That's good. It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Movie Mike, for everything all year.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Movie Mike McGranahan, sponsored by Campus Theater, campustheater.org.